Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Mr. Herman Pretorius. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this was an interesting comment made by ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula. He was speaking to Eyewitness News, talking about whether the DA, he was asked a question by a reporter about whether he would stay in the, whether the DA would stay in the Government of National Unity if they kept refusing to cooperate on passing the budget. And he basically said, look, you know, we're still talking to them, whatever. But, you know, the only reason they're being so difficult is because it's not because they're not accommodated in the budget. It's just because they want some sort of political win. And then he went on to say they just want to show that we have been stopped, that the ANC has been stopped. He said, well, we have been stopped. We're at 40%. We're in government with these people. He then also went on to say that the ANC, however, would not be run over roughshod by the DA. And he repeated the phrase, we are not hopeless. And Herman, you know, when us and our colleagues saw these comments yesterday, which were this clip of him talking on social media was tweeted out actually by his own X account. One kind of thinks, man, the ANC is really not sounding very strong these days.
I must say that is my favorite thing is he quite clearly someone in his office thought he knocked this out of the park, but it is possibly two of the weakest minutes of political interview responses that I've seen in a long while. And South Africa doesn't set the bar high when it comes to the quality of our politicians and responses. But this he makes a few points. Number one, he repeats the phrase, we are not hopeless, which is, of course, perhaps not the best sign of a party considering itself hopeful.
It leads one to ask the question, okay, firstly, who's calling you hopeless? And the implication is that everyone is. And secondly, it makes one think maybe perhaps the lady doth protest too much.
Yes, now I must say, so that's the first entertaining bit. Then the second thing is he absolutely mangles the political dynamics of the GNU. To illustrate, in his view, the political opportunism of the DA and how they are playing politics with a national budget, he says that the DA, when in government in Victoria and Johannesburg and Cape Town, passed budgets without the ANC, somehow implying that the ANC can expect to pass a budget without the DA. But he seems to confuse himself because he says we were not in coalition with them, but they are in coalition now. So he's trying to say that where the ANC has been in opposition and the DA has either had a majority or led a majority coalition, the DA must now, in the Government of National Unity, work with the ANC, because when the ANC was in the minority at local government level, the DA still passed budgets despite the ANC saying they didn't support those budgets. It is giving me a headache trying to understand his justification. But then what makes it even worse, and this is, I think, my key takeaway from this whole shenanigans, is that this is an obvious political thing. No one is in favor of this. Not Kusatu, not the unions, not the free marketeers. There is a dearth of people in support of a VAT hike beyond the ANC. This is easy politics. If you are faced in politics with a choice, raise taxes on the poor or not, truly only idiots will go, well, obviously we raise taxes on the poor. This is what the ANC has been doubling down on in the face of such obvious political loss. They don't even have the political instincts or the opportunism or the cynicism to have a bit of a U-turn and go, we got this wrong, let's actually do the obviously popular thing. So that is a problem. But then Mbalula complicates the problem by not actually explaining in his own clip that he says explains why the VAT hike is necessary, doesn't explain why the VAT hike is necessary. He just has the random phrase of, we will get what is ours at the end, and we will look after our people. Now, what I think he means to say is that the VAT hike is necessary to pay for the salaries of the public sector. How it comes across from the gentleman with the awareness of traveling to a Robben Island on a yacht. How it comes across is him saying that the VAT hike is necessary for the ANC to look after its own people. And if that isn't beautiful, truthful irony, then I don't know what it is, because the VAT hike is there to keep salaries of ANC cadres higher.
What's also quite funny about this is how he attacks the DA here, saying they just want to show that they have a political win here. They're just desperate for a political win. And yes, I think the DA is to some degree desperate for a political win in the GNU, because you guys did refuse to compromise with them and ran roughshod over them every single time you had the opportunity to negotiate with the DA when it came to the core things that they signed when they agreed to go into the GNU. Like, the ANC created the hostility from the DA as well. The DA was very willing to negotiate with the ANC on perhaps a whole bunch of these issues. And yeah, perhaps too willing. And every time the ANC just goes, nah, it's 100, it's you get 2%, we get 98%. And then they have the sort of audacity to complain when they need the ANC's votes, the DA's votes rather. But why aren't you backing us? You're being so mean. You want to get a political win against us. Well, of course they want a political win against you.
Stop trying to win against us, his reasoning goes. We've already lost, because we've already been stopped. That's another thing he says in the video. The DA mustn't try to stop the ANC because the ANC has already been stopped. Now, I'm confused. Does he mean that 40% is as low as the ANC will go, that they've already, the point has been made? Fine, South Africa, you don't want a majority ANC, we get it. And sort of, therefore, stop trying to tell us that you don't want the ANC, we get it, you don't want us, but we are still here because reasons. Or is it, I mean, I'm just curious as to what he thinks he's saying, and whether he thinks he's saying anything else. But I think just to sum up this whole story, it was tragic and comic to appreciate for a moment that this man holds the office that was initiated by Saul Plaatjie, the first Secretary General of the ANC, a man who translated the works of Shakespeare into, I think it was isiXhosa, a man of immense historical, intellectual integrity compared to this, whatever this might be. And to compound the issue, he is one of the favorites. He's one of the favorites, Nick, to succeed Cyril Ramaphosa as the next president of the ANC in December 2027. I mean, that you're hearing, that is the ANC and the barrel connecting.
Yeah, and even worse than that, he's not just perhaps one of the favorites, he's perhaps probably their best option. If they actually want to see themselves, you know, staying a viable party. Just what a state the party is in. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time to get to it today, but there was a by-election in the Western Cape where the ANC got smashed by MK. And one really thinks that the party is in a really bad space right now. But before we talk about that, let's talk about some campaign that you have just launched. And it's not just some campaign. South Africa has, for its entire history, been plagued with a tendency of its governments to pass racial laws. From the early days of the segregation in this country, which actually predates the formation of South Africa, some of those first segregationist laws, to the horrors of apartheid, to the complete counterproductive chaos and backwardsness of the BE regulations today. South Africa, unfortunately, throughout its history, has been addicted to racial legislation in various forms. Herman, you are launching a very simple campaign, but one that I think deserves some proper attention.
Yes. So over the last few weeks, we've really been hammering the cost of BEE. And we all know that BEE is based on race law. It's based on the Broad-Based Economic Empowerment Act. It's based on the Employment Equity Act. And these laws, in turn, are based on the idea that the South African state, the government, has the right and the legislative and statutory ability to discriminate on the basis of race. But not just discriminate on the basis of race, to define when someone is of a particular race. Now, if that sounds familiar, it might remind you of the Population Registration Act of 1950, one of the key acts on which the entire system of apartheid was based, because it created the racial classification boards. It allowed the entire edifice of racial classification to be constructed and therefore used for racial discrimination. And we've written a law. We've written a bill that we are going to promote across the country and take to Parliament, the No More Race Laws Bill. Number one, we are taking back the capacity from the political class of the last 100 years to say, you know, you don't get to make every decision. Laws don't have to originate in Parliament. You don't have to enjoy that isolated privilege. South Africans can step up and take that back. But also, we are just saying it's possible. We don't have to be stuck in this racialized way of thinking. South Africans have moved way past this. It's time the law and politics simply catch up. The No More Race Laws Bill contains some hopefully controversial, but some fundamentally useful stuff. It repeals all race-based laws in the country, either in the entirety or to the extent that they rely on racial classification. It, for the first time, defines in law when racial discrimination could, in terms of Section 9 of the Constitution, be considered fair and the very limited circumstances in which that could apply. And then thirdly, it creates what one of my friends called a doge for racism. It creates the non-racial compliance unit that is essentially a unit within government that checks the homework of the rest of government to make sure that this race nonsense, this apartheid era racial classification, these pencil tests are finally put in the dustbin of history where they belong. So it's an exciting law. We're going to launch it fully next week. It's already online, available for people to view. I've shared it with a few parliamentarians, and we're discussing strategies on how to get this to Parliament. And if this is something that you, as a member of our audience, feel you can support, please go onto the IRR website. You can Google IRR No More Race Laws, and you will find a petition connected to this bill. It's really time, overdue, actually, for just us to be honest about. We can either have the Population Registration Act or the No More Race Laws Bill. There is no in-between. It's time to make that political reality, just the fact of existing in South Africa.
Indeed. Down with race laws. Let's move on to our last story, and I just alluded to this briefly, and that is the MK party has won its first ward in a by-election in the Western Cape. Now, personally, I'm a little bit annoyed by this because yesterday I was talking about how disorganized and chaotic the MK party was, so they're trying to show me up clearly here. But Ward 1 in Saldanha Bay, which was previously held by the ANC, who got around about just under half of the vote in that ward, was won by MK, who won it with just over a third of the vote, with the ANC vote dropping significantly. So previously, I think in the last election, MK got around 6% of the vote in this ward. The ANC got around 49% of the vote. The Patriotic Alliance got around 17%. The DA 6, good party, a couple of points. The good party had done quite well in this ward a long time ago, but has since collapsed. So in the by-election held yesterday, the MK party won with 36% of the vote. The ANC went down from about 49% of the vote to 26% of the vote. The PA went up slightly to 19% of the vote. The EFF went down slightly from about 16 to about 14% of the vote. The DA went from about 5% of the vote, 6% of the vote to 1%, and the good party also around 1%, which is where they've been recently. Herman, I suspect that there are a lot of local dynamics at play here. It's very possible that MK got a good candidate, a strong candidate to represent them in this ward, which explains their victory. But this is just another one of those little data points that suggests that the ANC is... my father sent me the results of this morning, and he simply attached the phrase, "Who's the strong horse now?" And I think there is an element of that at play. What's your take on this?
No, I think you can both say that MK is in disarray and they can win by elections because they're not the only sort of horse galloping. The ANC, having won this ward previously, having, as you say, almost half the support, to collapse from that level, those votes go somewhere. And kudos to MK for having the infrastructure for those votes to go to them. That is highly unusual. You don't expect a Zulu nationalist, conservative, traditionalist party to do well in the Western Cape. But it is the ANC's, election. It was the ANC's election to lose, and they lost it. Now, the PA, I think, would be slightly disappointed by this turnout. This would be an ideal type of ward where they can show momentum from last year's national elections. So it's a difficult one to read, actually. You don't want to think, yes, this is the great organizational resurgence of MK. Just look at it. We have to appreciate it's an outlier by all accounts. Yes.
Especially when they win with just over a third of the vote. You know, 36% in a ward, in a fiercely fought by-election in a ward, is, it's not a great result.
Yeah, and so I think what we could say here is, yes, MK won, but the ANC lost more than MK won here. It is an unusual situation, but if I were the PA, I'd be most worried about this. If I were the ANC, I'd be most worried about this. These are parties that should be doing better here. And it is indicative, if we're right in saying that by-elections are the test of organizational capacity for political parties, then the ANC should be in intense panic. This is politics 101. So well done, MK, a surprising outcome. I don't think a portent of things to come, but certainly some alarm bells should be ringing, particularly for the PA and the ANC here.
We are also seeing a very interesting little pattern here. I believe the first or the second by-election that MK won in the country was not in KZN or even in Mpumalanga. Yeah. I believe it was somewhere northwest. So it does seem as though in some ANC strongholds, and it seems particularly in by-elections, that the ANC, that MK is able to capitalize as a kind of protest party in the way that the EFF hasn't been able to. I mean, the EFF here went actually slightly backwards, despite the ANC losing nearly half its vote. I mean, this suggests that, you know, that they really are not having a good time. But I suppose also a problem for the DA in that, you know, this is not a ward where it's strong, but it looks like it failed to get any of the protest votes at all from going to it as well.
Yeah, no. So overall, it's a weird result, but it is an interesting result, and I wouldn't base entire political analysis of the state of play on this. I think the opinion polling seem to indicate
it's a podcast, isn't that what one's supposed to do?
Oh yeah, fair enough. I forgot the rules, but so I wouldn't read too much from this particular incident, but it is something that should worry two of the GNU parties at least, and. I mean, let's keep an eye on the next MK by-election. The real test, I think, of MK's strength will be whether it can sustainably perform in areas that it effectively, quote-unquote, won in the 2024 provincial and national elections, heading into the local government elections towards the end of 2026, start of 2027. And that's the thing I keep an eye on.
Exactly. And what's interesting about that point is so far the evidence suggests they're either going to underperform or only just make up their numbers, which is very fascinating. The fact that MK has continued to underperform in many KZN by-elections, I think, is a really interesting thing that deserves more attention and study to work out exactly what is going on there. But anyway, that's all the time we have for today. We went a bit long, but thank you very much for watching. I hope you all enjoy the long weekend. It is, of course, Human Rights Day tomorrow. And I hope you all have a wonderful time. Cheers, everyone. And we shall see you next week on The Daily Friend Show. Bye-bye. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.